Amen. Thanks, guys. So Isaac and Holland are part of one of the organizations that our churches give to, and you'll hear about that in the next coming weeks at the annual meeting. And then there's five organizations that we kind of gave to this year. They're one of them, different ministry-type organizations. And then over the next month, 2 months, we're bringing in each of those organizations to just kind of give a recap, to say thank you, and give us a greater picture of what their ministry looks like, all right? So are we ready to dive into week 2, 3 of forgiveness? Last week, we talked about Matthew 18, and we try to answer the question, why? Like, why do I need to forgive somebody? What is the point? And we talked about Matthew 18, and we talked about, you know, how Jesus instructed us to go and have conflict and bring things up and work through issues. And then we talked about how Peter said, Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive somebody else? And Jesus responded, 70 times 70. Way more than you thought. That's how many times you have to keep forgiving over and over and over again. And we talked about where that's found in the Old Testament and the connection to interrupting the cycle of kind of revenge and hurt and all these things. So last week we tried to answer the why. And the simple why is you and I have been forgiven by God. And so if we've been forgiven, there's a hope, there's an expectation that whatever we experience will overflow out of our lives into the lives of others around us. That our vertical relationship with God, as we've been forgiven, as we've been shown grace and mercy in all those things, that then that would impact our horizontal relationships. And so when there is a hurt of some sort, that we would be able to extend grace, mercy, and forgiveness. So you're caught up, right? So today I want to talk a little bit about the how, and I want to try to give some helpful frameworks for the question: should the relationship keep going? A couple weeks ago, I asked, "Send me questions," and I got probably 12 to 15 questions from you guys about forgiveness, and many of the questions had a common theme. So something occurred in a relationship, a relationship was broken or fractured. Some sort of hurt occurred. Okay, I kind of get forgiveness. I'm working my way through that, but I kind of understand why we need to forgive. But does forgiving somebody mean I have to stay in the relationship? We heard this phrase, like, forgive and forget. Right? There's this notion out there that as we're loving Christians, as God has forgiven us, then as we forgive those around us, then that also means that we need to stay in relationship or build a better relationship with whoever that person is. And last week, I think I started out by saying, like, forgiveness does not equal reconciliation. So today I want to talk a little bit about the how. And there's two kind of primary Bible verses that come to mind. Colossians 3, chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. Paul is writing to the Colossian church and he's saying, hey, throw off all these things that don't belong and put on all these things that do belong as you follow Jesus. He says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If you have any grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Doesn't that sound nice? Doesn't that sound easy when it's written down on a piece of paper? Oh, yeah, forgive everybody. Bear with each other. Like, that sounds a little more difficult, but okay. And then forgive as the Lord forgave you. And my question is always, okay, what does that look like? How? How do you do that? How do you forgive? And then what does that relationship look like moving forward? The how is, I think, the thing that we often get tripped up on. Because on a piece of paper, it looks pretty easy. And so we translate that into our lives and go, well, following Jesus means you're supposed to love people, forgive people, show mercy, all that stuff. Well, that's pretty easy. And I think that's the trap because it's not so easy. Turn with me also to Proverbs 26:11. There's this great little proverb in there that says, as a dog returns to its vomit, a fool returns to their folly. So as a dog returns to its vomit, a fool returns to its folly. So I want you to hold these two verses next to each other. Because yes, as we follow Jesus, we are to forgive. We are to extend that to others. But also, we don't want to be the person who makes the mistake of returning to the same behavior over and over and over again. Or returning to the same relationship or situation that's hurtful for us to be in. So there's a process to go through, I think. And one of the books that I read was Trust by Henry Cloud, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But he outlines a nice process for what that looks like to test to see if a relationship can be built again. I heard a pastor once say, say you came across a dog, since we're on the topic of dogs, and a dog bit you. Would you go back around that dog? Just logically, would you? Most of us would be like, no. If I'm around a dog and the dog bites me, I'm not going to go back around the vicinity of where that dog is. I'm just not. Like, it's it's not wise. Right? It's not wise to put yourself in a dangerous situation, in a dangerous relationship, until that dog learns not to bite again. Like, it's such a simple little analogy, but I think it's so powerful. Because we have this idea of forgive and forget, and I think that's flawed. I think forgetting isn't all that wise, but I also think forgetting is deeply connected to how much trust you can build in a relationship after a hurt happened. Forgetting is deeply connected to how much trust you can build in a relationship after that hurt happened. I don't think forgetting is even possible nor wise, but to the extent that you can forget that a hurt happened is to the extent of how much you can heal after the hurt happened. See, trust is at the core of every relationship. It's the building block of our relationships. So when Paul is writing the church and he's saying, hey, just forgive people, he's assuming there is an underlying foundation of trust that is there and that exists within the community. We all know the concept of trust. We all know what it means. And we know what it feels like when trust is broken. We know what that feels like when a hurt has occurred. We know what it feels like when a mistake happens or something is said or an action is done. And now we have to deal with this hurt. And we have to choose whether we want to forgive or not. And we have to choose, do we want to stay in this relationship? A good definition of trust is to believe that someone is good and honest and will not harm you. Or that something is safe and reliable. Trust is at the foundation of relationship. Trust often begins as a feeling, but it's not based on only feeling or emotion or some kind of sense. It has to be rooted in something that is solid, observable, and essential qualities. In this book, Trust by Henry Cloud, it's a great book. If you want to take the next step in growing in this area, I encourage you to read it. Henry Cloud says there's several parts of trust that have to exist in a relationship for trust to be there, for trust to be the foundation. Number one, it starts with understanding. Listening to and understanding others' needs and feelings and emotions. Two, motive. In order to trust somebody, you have to trust that they have good motives. You have to trust that they have good intentions, right? Here's a little tip that I use. If I don't know somebody's motives or intentions, I usually just stand back and wait. Because people will always demonstrate their motives and intentions in a relationship. The third thing is ability. People trust others when they have some sort of capacity and ability to be trustworthy, to act in trustworthy ways. Number three is character. Trust is built when you're in a relationship with somebody who has character, with somebody who has integrity, with someone who is honest, with somebody who is reliable and consistent, with somebody who you can trust what they say when they say it. And then the last thing is a track record. People trust others when they have a history of showing up and being consistent. When they have a history of acting the same the way you'd expect them to, over and over and over again. So this is the main, like, underlying thing, right? A hurt has happened. Should I forgive them? Okay, I listened to last week's sermon. Yes, I should forgive them. I'm trying to figure out what that looks like. Now the next question is, should I be in a relationship with that person? I think 8 out of the 12 questions that I got had something to do with this question. Should I continue being in a relationship after a hurt has occurred? And I would say, well, it depends on your level of trust that you can build back in that relationship. And it starts with these things. Are they people that are understanding? That have good and true and pure motives, that have the ability, that have the character, that have the that demonstrate the track record. Henry Cloud also lays out kind of this process of what it looks like to walk through the steps. There was a question, do I need to forgive in order to heal? So it's a little bit of a question like, what comes first, the chicken or the egg, right? Do I need to forgive in order to heal? Is my healing hinged on my forgiveness? I heard a counselor say this analogy. He said, so someone borrows your car. And they take your car out, you let them borrow your car, it's a friend, and they borrow your car, and they're out driving, and you find out, like, they've been driving recklessly, and they crash your car. What do you do? Do you take your car that's all smashed up and broken, right? Like, you're angry at the person. They betrayed your trust. You entrusted your vehicle to them. They went out, drove it around, reckless driving, crashed it, came back. Maybe they had some excuse or something like that. But the question is, what do you do? Do you put your car in the driveway and just let it sit? Would anybody do that? No, right? Because why? You need a car, right? Like, would you put it in the driveway and just let it sit broken and smashed up until the person said they're sorry? Or until the person was able to demonstrate that they could become a trustworthy person again? Well, no. Because you need a car. So you go and you'd get your car fixed so you could drive it around again. But would you let that friend drive that car again? Probably not, right? I'd have some questions for you if you're like, hey, here's the keys again. Good luck. You probably wouldn't let him drive the car again, right? Until they demonstrated some things. First, there was an apology and acceptance of what happened and taking ownership of what happened. And then a demonstration of them proving to you that they could be trustworthy again. And somewhere in that process, as you repaired your car, is maybe you were trying to figure out if they could still be a friend or a trustworthy friend. Somewhere in that process, healing and forgiveness starts to happen. Somewhere in the forgiveness journey, you start to take care of yourself. And healing and forgiveness comes. Then later you decide if relationship continues. So Henry Cloud kind of outlines a six-step process. And he says, here's a helpful process to determine if a relationship should or could continue. So this is very practical, very nuts and bolts. But it helps determine, I'm not going to be like that dog that returns to its vomit. I'm going to have a structured process for how I figure out, is this relationship still safe? Is it still reliable? Is this person something that is trustworthy and that can build trustworthiness back into our relationship? So the first step is heal from what happened to you. It's starting to heal. It's naming the betrayal. It's acknowledging that the betrayal happened. That's the first step of healing. So it's not brushing it under the rug. Oh, no big deal. It doesn't matter. No, you did this in our relationship. That doesn't matter. No, it names it. It calls it out. It says, this does matter. What happened actually matters a lot, and we need to discuss it, talk about it, address it, and name it. The next step, 2, move beyond anger and revenge and turn towards forgiveness. See, if you're going to be your best self, your highest performing self, to use those terms, you must forgive. Forgiveness is the way, Henry Cloud says this, forgiveness is the way that you free yourself from betrayal. Otherwise, you're tied to it and trapped in it for the rest of your life. Forgiveness certainly is a gift to whoever you're forgiving, but it is also a gift for ourselves to let go, to relieve the debt that is owed to you. We'll talk about that more next week. Forgiveness is a gift to yourself. It interrupts the cycle of bitterness and anger that Jesus warned about to continue. And it lets go of the hurt. Not to say that the hurt doesn't matter, but it lets go of the power that the hurt has in your life. So that there needs to be this move beyond the anger, beyond the bitterness, beyond the rage, beyond the hurt, to taking steps towards forgiving, to letting go of that hurt, anger, and bitterness. Step three, ponder what you really want. Do I really want to stay in relationship with this person? Is this relationship benefiting me? If so, how? Do I want to stay in this relationship? Step four, figure out if reconciliation is available. We've named the hurt, we've called it out, we've talked about it. Is this person accepting responsibility? Does this person want to stay in this relationship and work it out? Is reconciliation even available? Is this person going to live in such a way that builds another foundation of trust after the first foundation has been hurt? Step five, assess trustworthiness. Does this person have the character, the responsibility, the ability, the motive, the understanding, the track record? Can we continue this relationship? Can trustworthiness be rebuilt? And then step six is look for evidence of real change. Change that can be demonstrated. So you're taking ownership. You're saying you're going to do this. Are you actually doing it? Right? There's this hurt in this relationship. There's this place where you betrayed me. You said you're going to take care of it. You're taking ownership. You're going to go get counseling to figure out why you're doing that thing. Are you actually going to get counseling? Are you doing the thing that you said you were going to do to help build trust back in your life? So for the answer of, okay, I've forgiven, now should I stay in the relationship? I think you walk through this process. Can I build trust again with this person? Is this person demonstrating that they can be reliable? They can build character back? Another question that was asked is basically what happens if I can't enter into this process with somebody? What happens if I want to forgive them and I forgive them, but they're not really somebody that I can talk through this process with. They're not really somebody who's going to respond well to. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a friend. But you know that a hurt happened. They're not really willing to engage it. Or if they do, it's going to be in this really unhealthy way. But how, I've forgiven, but how do I, what do I do then with the relationship? How do I move forward? Or how do I exist in this relationship when they aren't willing to accept responsibility, or they don't have the character to look back and change their behavior? A lot of times we are in this situation when it comes to family, when it gets incredibly messy, and there's just certain things, that conversations you can't enter into, and it gets really messy. For Christ follower, what do you do? I heard a counselor say this before last holidays. He said you confront the situation as best you can. You have the honest, the real conversation. But then if you know it's not going to go anywhere, you have three different choices. You can create a boundary, right? I'm only going to talk to you under these circumstances. I'm only going to engage with you in this way for this amount of time. So you can put boundaries around the relationship, right? I was in a relationship at one point with someone else, and they were somebody who talked a lot and just like went on and on and on about the problems. And I would get really frustrated because I would stand there and try to give advice, and then I'd be wondering, why isn't this person listening to my advice? If you haven't figured out, it's a family relationship. So this person, why aren't they listening to my advice? And I would get angry that I had to endure this conversation over and over and over and over again. I was trying to help, but I couldn't help. And so one day I was like, okay, I need to put in a boundary. I'm not going to give advice until they ask for it. Do you think they ever asked for it? No. But what did that do? It freed me up in the conversation. Okay, I know this person's not going to ask for advice. I'm going to show up to this conversation, and I'm going to love them and give them grace as best I can. But I'm not going to tie myself up in it. Because they're not asking for advice, I shouldn't give them advice. It allowed me to be freer in that conversation. So you could create a boundary. If the hurt was serious enough and they weren't able to own it, they weren't willing to own it, you could also cut off the friendship, the relationship, and just say, I'm done, I'm out. The abuse occurred. You are not demonstrating that you are somebody who is trustworthy. You are not entering into the process of reconciliation. So I forgive you, but I need to draw this line and I am out of the relationship. This is no longer a safe relationship to be in. And what if it's a family member who you're like, well, I don't really want to just cut them off, but I don't know what to do. I can put little boundaries around and all this stuff, but he said the third thing that you can do is consent to being in that relationship as the person is. This is a little bit of what I did with my other, this example I just gave you. Consent that this is how the relationship is going to go. And I'm going to consent that I'm going to show up and love this person the best that I can within the context of this relationship. But there's also going to be boundaries. There's also going to be areas in which I don't go. So are there relationships that you have or relationships that you're wrestling with of, should I stay in this relationship? Worship team can come up. And where are you at in that process? I think it's a very real question that many of us struggle with, that many of us would say, we understand the forgiveness is good for us and good for the other person. We get it. But what do we do after that? How do we function? How do we assess whether we can stay in a relationship or not? And I think Henry Cloud in his book kind of answers it. Can you build trust again? Because trust is the foundation of every relationship. And what steps do you need to do to build that trust? So this week was with relationship, the how with relationship, and it was a little more clinical, a little more like, here's some steps. Next week, as we kind of close out the series, it's going to be about letting go and canceling the debt. Part of that will be asking the question, the other question that I got the second most of is, how do I forgive myself? So we'll tackle that next week. But until then, I'll end it the same way that I've asked, or same question I've asked every week. Who do you need to forgive in your life? And maybe you've forgiven that person and you need to forgive them again. You're maybe on the 50th time. But who do you need to forgive? Jesus, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you love us so incredibly much. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you that you forgive. And so you call us to be a forgiving people. And Jesus, you know, and we recognize that it's complicated. But Jesus, you are with us on the journey. I pray that you would speak to us. In our current relationships, especially those that need some forgiveness or need some healing. I pray that we could take some of these steps forward, and in the relationships where it's appropriate, that we can reconcile. Holy Spirit, lead us. In your name we pray. Amen.